I'd like to welcome all of you again on this sweltering Sunday summer morning. I am grateful that you are here in worship today, and I pray that in spite of the heat and the temperatures, this will be a time of refreshment and restoration for us. Will you pray with me, please? Holy God, not because of me, not through me, but in spite of me and all of my shortcomings, let your perfect word come to your people. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. So this is a picture of our grandson, Aiden. Aiden, yeah, he is cute, isn't he? He's adorable. Look, I'm a little grandparent pride here, right? Aiden is 6 years old, and he got his first pair of glasses this week. Now, you would think maybe that an active six-year-old boy would be frustrated at the prospect of having to wear glasses. But Aiden was absolutely thrilled to be able to have them. And he said to his mom when he first tried them on, "Mommy, this is great. Now those words and letters won't be all jumbly and random." For the last couple of years, Aiden has really struggled whenever it comes to reading and writing. And it wasn't until this week, when his vision challenges were discovered, that we understood what was going on. In the past, whenever he had a reading assignment, he would get so frustrated and so irritated and annoyed because he had such a hard time making sense of the letters that were on the page. But it's because he wasn't able to focus on them. And everything was jumbly and random. And that was the source of his frustration. And now that he can focus clearly, I saw a picture the other day of him sitting with his other grandmother reading, and his mom said, he has so much more confidence about what he's doing now. Now, as an individual who has had to wear glasses or contact lenses since I was in the fifth grade, I can appreciate what a huge difference it makes when you are able to focus on things clearly. As somebody who is aging and whose eyesight is continuing to change, I appreciate the challenges and the frustration of not being able to focus, and I'm reluctantly resigning myself to the fact that the next time I see the eye doctor, it will be time for me to get bifocals. So when things are out of focus, it becomes frustrating, right? But when we can focus clearly on the things around us, it makes life so much easier, and things happen and unfold so much better. In the gospel lesson for today, we hear the story of Jesus visiting the home of Martha and her sister Mary. And sometimes we hear the story as a story about siblings squabbling with one another. And sometimes we hear the story as a story about the importance of being at the feet of Jesus and not being busy and distracted in life. But I hear the story as a story about the importance of keeping the right focus in life. I think it's helpful to have a little bit of background on both Mary and Martha. We hear about them several times in Scripture. We know that they were sisters to one another. We know that they had a brother named Lazarus. They lived in the village of Bethany, which was just outside Jerusalem. Later on in Scripture, we hear the story of Lazarus becoming ill and dying. And when Jesus makes his way to their town 4 days after the death of Lazarus, Martha comes out and says to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And then Jesus has a conversation with Martha. And toward the end of the conversation, Martha proclaims that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. She is clearly a woman who has deep faith in Jesus, And she's also a woman who has a heart dedicated to serving others. Because often when we hear her mentioned in Scripture, she is in the process of serving. We also know that Mary is a woman of great devotion to Jesus, not just from the story that we'll be talking about today, but because it is Mary who, prior to Jesus' death and crucifixion, Mary is the one who comes in while Jesus is eating with his disciples and carries with her a jar of costly perfume and uses that perfume to anoint his feet and then washes his feet with her tears and dries them with her hair. It's a beautiful picture of how she is devoted. They are both women who are committed to Christ. They are followers of Jesus. And then we come to the lesson that happened today. And there are a few things that we can maybe surmise, and I think with a fair amount of confidence, about today's lesson. First of all, because Martha is named first, and the scripture tells us that Martha welcomed Jesus to her home, we can surmise that Martha was probably the oldest of the three siblings, and that she was responsible for this household. And as the one who is responsible for the functioning of the household, she also had the obligation to make sure that she extended true hospitality to her guests. In a culture where hospitality is hugely important, it was the honor of the family that was at stake if hospitality was not extended well. We also know that Jesus usually traveled with his 12 disciples, his closest companions. So Martha's hospitality is not just extended to Jesus, but we can imagine that she was preparing a meal for Jesus and the 12 disciples, as well as Mary and her brother Lazarus. She's cooking for 16 people who have showed up at her house. Now, if you've ever had to prepare a meal for 16 people who have showed up at your house, you understand that there's a lot involved in that, right? She is hard at work. And while she is working hard, the scripture tells us that Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. And sometimes we hear that phrase and we assume it means that she's sitting there adoringly looking up at him and entranced by what a magnificent teacher this is. But to be sitting at somebody's feet really means to be a disciple of that person. Paul, in the book of Acts, talks about how he sat at the feet of the famous rabbi Gamaliel. He was a disciple of that teacher. So Mary is not just sitting there adoring Jesus. Mary is sitting there trying to learn from him. He is teaching and she is being his pupil. Mary wants to be close to Jesus by learning from him, and Martha wants to be close to Jesus by serving him. And both are absolutely important. They're important for us, too. It is important for us to be close to Jesus by learning from Jesus, and it is important to us to be close to Jesus by serving Jesus. We learn from Jesus when we are in worship and when we spend time in prayer and when we study the scriptures and when we are in our small groups or our Bible classes, and that's absolutely important. We also are close to Jesus when we serve Jesus. I felt close to Jesus yesterday in the midst of the heat when we were at the feeding program at Mary Walter Elementary School. You can feel the presence of Christ in the midst of those times. Or when we are downstairs packing food together, that is serving Jesus, and that is a way that draws us close to Jesus. Both of those are important. The issue in the gospel lesson for today is, I think, Martha lost her focus. And when you lose your focus, things become all jumbly and random, right? And it's easy to get frustrated, and it's easy to get annoyed. And I think Martha lost her focus on serving as a way of being close to Jesus, and she became distracted by all of the tasks in front of her, and she became frustrated and jumbly and annoyed. And in that moment, Mary was maintaining her focus. And that is why Jesus lifted up what Mary was doing. and urged Martha to let go of her distractions so that she could regain her focus once again. If we lose our focus on why we are serving, if we lose our focus on Jesus, then it is easy for things in our own lives to become random and jumbly and for us to get frustrated and easily annoyed. I'll be honest, there have been stages in my life where I have been working really hard and I've been determined to continue to serve and serve faithfully, but my focus on Jesus has not always been what it should be. And in those stages of life, you can power through for a while, right? If you have a strong personality, you can power through for a while. But on the inside, the condition of our hearts grows frustrated and irritated and annoyed. And the serving continues, but it is done with reluctance, resistance, and eventually bitterness and grumbling, the same things that came out of Martha's mouth in the scripture lesson for today. It's not that serving is unimportant. Serving and learning are both important. The issue is making sure that we keep our focus on Jesus as we're doing both, so that the state of our heart doesn't get jumbly and random. In the Catholic monastic tradition, there is a Latin phrase, ora et labora, which means prayer and work. And Brother Lawrence, who was a monk in the 1600s, described very beautifully how those two things can be held together. It's not either or, it's both and. We pray and work together. And this is the quote that I found really helpful. He says, "The time of busyness does not differ with me from the time of prayer. And in the noise and the clatter of my kitchen, while several persons are at the same time calling for different things, I possess God in as great tranquility as if I were on my knees." That's somebody who is maintaining focus in the midst of the busyness of life, staying close to Jesus through prayer and through learning and through service. Because it's not either or, it's both and. So today I'm going to suggest two things that I think you might do that will not add a whole lot to your time or your schedules, because I know we're all busy people, but might help in maintaining that focus on why we serve and why we learn. And the first thing is this: begin each day intentionally. When you wake up in the morning, before you get out of bed, just offer a one-sentence prayer. God, use me today. That's it. Begin your day that way. And I guarantee if you do that, you will find yourself experiencing the presence of God in a profound way during the course of the day. You will experience those little God nudges and whispers, and your focus will be on God's presence with you. And then the other thing is, just be attentive and be aware to the presence of the holy in the ordinary things of life. I often take our very large dog, Ben, for a walk in the mornings. Ben is old and overweight, and he needs to walk, and I need to walk with him. But that is an amazing opportunity to be attentive to the holy in the midst of ordinary things. When I walk out Old Mill Road and I go past Miss Joyce's place, I see baby calves in the field, and I see geese, and there's often a heron by the pond. And every once in a while, as I round the curve, there are deer that come bounding across the road. And I can give thanks for the gift of creation and all of its beauty, and be attentive to the presence of the holy in ordinary everyday things. When you are ending your day, it's possible to just look back and reflect, where did I see God at work in the world today? Be attentive to the presence of God's holiness in the ordinary things of life. Mary wanted to be close to Jesus by learning, and Martha wanted to be close to Jesus by serving, and both of those are important, and we should be engaged in both. But let's keep our focus on why we're doing that, so that our hearts don't get all random and jumbly. May God help us do just that. Will you pray with me, please? Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for opportunities to learn and opportunities to serve, and we pray that throughout it all, you will help us keep our focus on you. And we pray this in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, amen.